Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark Inhart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Hate the most.
Probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Phony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark and Hart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark and Hart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
And now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark
Inhart. Mark Inhart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'll tell you right now, I don't mind saying it. I'm on Baltimore Sunday night. They're the right side. I love Baltimore. I love them in this game. And Lamar Jackson, what he's going to do is he's going to look for the open man. The big thing that's going to help Baltimore on Sunday night is the running game. Coming off a bye week, Baltimore's going to give the Patriots all they can handle. They're 3.5-point underdogs. I don't even want the points. I don't even need the points because there will be only one undefeated team left in the NFL, and that will be the Jimmy G quarterback San Francisco 49ers.
By the way, if Sony Michel rushes for like 20 yards on a 2-yard and Lamar Jackson leads the Ravens to victory, you are going to be just at the peak of your most obnoxious.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Here we are. We are ready. It's hour number two already here on Mark and Hart. Live outside Gady Alumni Stadium. We have now moved a little bit over. We're still right in front of Gady, but we are now with the sun on us, so it feels a little bit better. A balmy, what is it, about 32 degrees right now?
Yeah, just over freezing somewhere.
You know.
It's a beautiful day for football.
It's
just football weather.
In New England, it's a beautiful day.
Anywhere. This is what football was meant to be played. Football weather.
It's actually right now it's 30. It's 30 degrees.
Perfect.
So we're getting some sun.
But beautiful sun. We got the leaves, the foliage. This is football in the Northeast, baby.
It's a red bandana.
Welcome to it, Seminoles.
Right. Yes. Yes. A red bandana game for Boston College. They're facing Florida State. You can hear that game coming up right here. A pregame will start at 11:30, and then John Mina Perrell will have a call at 11. Excuse me, at noon. Former WEI morning
yes.
show guy John Mina Perrell put many years here, many years at WEI. Now he's big time calling the games.
Now he decides whether touchdowns are bow worthy. Take a bow.
Right. Yes, that's right. You know, I will say this too. I actually last night. I will tell you, I got BC minus 2.5 today. BC is the, I not only expect them to win this game, I expect them to dominate Florida State. I think Florida State, from what I saw of them, just all season long, but specifically last week against my Miami Hurricanes, they quit. They quit at home against their biggest rival. You don't think they're going to come up here in this 32-degree weather? And once they try to tackle A.J. Dillon, and they feel they had no way they are ready for this game today. They have already quit. They're looking to see who their next coach is going to be. It was reportedly going to be Deion Sanders. Now they're saying it's not going to be Deion Sanders. Whoever it's going to be, all I know is this, it's going to have no impact on today's game, and I think BC will roll Florida State.
I actually agree with you, and you're on a roll, so why wouldn't I?
Right, well, there you go.
You're hot. You're on a hot streak. But no.
Yes.
If you just look at this superficially, you have a team that just lost its coach, or got rid of its coach, mm-hmm. sort of at a crossroads to its season. You think it quit a week ago. Well, coming into a cold weather environment against a team that can roll out of bed and run for 300 yards on you, right?
Sure.
That's what BC does.
Look what they
want to run it down your throat.
Yep.
With Dillon leading the way and Bailey, the second back they have
the
now.
The big bruiser.
Love him. Yeah. I love watching. And that is my kind of football, just watching big running backs run over and around people. And I think you're going to see that today. The supposed athletic advantage of a Florida State team, a Florida team. I don't think you're going to see that today. I think you're going to see him get run over.
2 years ago on a Friday night, Florida State came in here with a better team, Brian Burns, who was a first-round pick in this year's NFL draft, and they got rolled by BC 2 years ago. So this game today, I don't expect it to be close. I think Florida State, they've quit. Now, they got talent. Asante Samuel Jr., his dad, who played for the Patriots, was on that 07 team. Had he been able to hold on to that pick, they would have completed the perfect season.
One of the more underrated cornerbacks in Patriots history and probably NFL history.
Yeah.
If you remember the way Asante Samuel played, he was great for the Patriots. And then when he left, he went to the Eagles. I would flick on games, and he's returning a pick 40 yards. He was a playmaking cornerback.
He was good.
That I feel like just sort of got passed over by this generation or whatever. He never given the credit, and part of it is he, like Wes Welker, doesn't get the credit for his successes because he didn't catch a ball in a big game that could have changed Patriots history or added to Patriots history.
Do you remember? I'll just throw one other guy in there. Asante Samuel was, I mean, that was inexcusable. I will also say this. There was another guy in that Super Bowl 42, Patriots-Giants, who also had a chance at a pick to put it away, Brandon Merriweather, and he dropped it.
Yep.
So it wasn't just Samuels.
Where's he from?
The U.
You can never count on
the U.
Anybody from the U, question them.
Yeah, Vince Wilfork you could count on, though.
That's true.
617-779.
Ray Lewis wasn't bad.
793-7. No, I'm talking about the Patriots.
Michael Irvin had a nice career. Ed Reed could play.
No, they had some good ones. Ed Reed, by the way, got honored at that game on Sunday night.
Yes, and Brady, did you see that pregame? And not anything racist. I don't know how that thing made the internet. Did you see that?
By the way, we say it's my kryptonite.
Yeah.
And but what would it be racist?
People tried to say that somehow they kept replaying it, reading his lips, and saying that he said the N-word. Like, that became a thing out of a TV station in Atlanta.
What?
I can't believe you didn't see that.
No.
Some CBS TV station in Atlanta tweeted out a thing. Did Tom Brady use the N-word in the Ravens game? Whatever. No, he said the kryptonite.
My kryptonite.
They brought you in because you're my kryptonite. And he was right, by the way.
I could tell. Listen to this. Game 6, 2011 NBA Finals. I was down in Miami when the Mavericks were playing the Heat. That's when LeBron's first year in Miami. And they got beat by the Mavericks, right?
I'm distracted.
No, I
dropped his beard. They all exploded.
Yeah. So, during halftime, I'm walking around the concourse of the American Airlines Arena of the 2011 NBA Finals when the Mavericks closed out the Heat. Ed Reed and Tom Brady met. They were there, and everybody crowded around them. It was like two old friends. They love each other. They absolutely love each other. So I'm not even – oh, please, I didn't hear that at all.
No, and it was ridiculous.
Stupid.
It was the modern, I don't know, internet-based, clickbait, whatever story. But I just thought it was interesting that Brady greeted him so open arms, saying, you're my kryptonite. And there's a lot of respect. You know who loved him more than Brady?
Belichick.
Oh, my God. I
heard Belichick. That was the one guy he wanted. That was the quarterback of the defense that he wanted so bad.
No question. He used to say he thought, honestly, that the Ravens were worse in the back end when they had two deep safeties than one. If you just had Ed Reed there, he could cover the whole field. He felt like the other guy would just get in the way, screw it up, not do the right thing. That's how good Ed Reed was.
He was amazing. 617-779-7937. What are your thoughts on the game overall? Did that change perhaps your outlook on the Patriots season the rest of the way, and maybe whether or not you think they're going to make this Super Bowl run?
Did
down
for a
to
lot
Miami.
Of people. Did you see a lot of power rankings?
That's the dumbest thing.
Dropping them to like four or five.
First of all, anybody who does power rankings for the NFL is a tool bag. They're tool bags.
Mike Florio in line
one. Well, they're all tool bags. Anybody this
good
isn't
for clicks. I just want to tell you, it's good for clicks if you post.
Well, okay, but this isn't college football. There's no BCS or playoff rankings. Don't do power rankings. They're stupid.
Ask for that. I'm just doing my job.
Well, Mike, anybody who does power rankings, you're a tool bag.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. 617-779-7937. Like, you know what the power rankings are?
What?
The first Sunday in February, who's facing each other, like, in the Super Bowl? That's the two best teams.
People like to rate it along the way, like they're used to college football, right?
Yeah.
The heart of college football was always the rankings, right?
Well, that's
the
college, polls. Though. That's college,
No,
though.
I know, right. But it works.
Here's the good thing about the NFL. You actually settle it with a real playoff system, not this BCS plus two that they have now.
Right.
Right.
But along the way, people like to compare. There's some bragging rights. There's some, you know, rankings, and it gives people something to talk about.
I don't like it.
You are an angry man. Why are you going to be so angry? It's a beautiful Sunday morning.
I do not like power rankings. I do not like them at all. All right, so San Francisco this week, they're the only undefeated. So naturally,
I would disagree with that. If I were doing power rankings, I'm not sure I would have, just because they are undefeated, I'm not sure I would have San Francisco.
I go
as the
New
best
Orleans.
Team. I think New Orleans has New a Orleans. Good argument for.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. Hey, they went 5-0 without Breece.
You also have a good argument for the Baltimore Ravens, whose last two games were going to Seattle and
beating
New Russell
England.
Wilson,
yeah.
and hosting Tom Brady and beating him.
Not bad.
You know, in college
Not
football,
bad.
Where the wins matter, what's your like marquee win? What's your those are two legitimate wins right there.
So let me ask you this, and it stands here, folks, and I have to say this, and I know this hurts. The Patriots only win this year versus a team with a winning record was at Buffalo.
Yep.
I just want to state that's a fact. That's not just a – that's a fact, and that is
– And what does it mean?
There ain't
nothing.
One. There ain't one.
You just said it.
Right.
It means nothing. Like Tom Brady said this week, your season will be decided from here on out. You've laid the foundation. You have everything in front of you. You can be the number one seed. You can host in the playoffs like you so often do, and it's so often a recipe for success. But the season's decided – over the next few weeks, how good you're going to be heading into the playoffs, and then once you get into January. You know, I heard somebody posing the idea, though, a scary scenario is if the Kansas City Chiefs come to Foxborough earlier. Like, everybody had that circled as an AFC title game rematch. Mm-hmm. Depending on how things shake down, if that comes out earlier, and you know, the Ravens, the Bills, there's a lot of
Right.
There could be some interesting matchups earlier in the playoffs, because everybody, I think, just assumed coming into the season – Eh, whatever. It'll be Kansas City and New England. We'll see in the AFC title
game. You know what team I'm not worried about from a Patriots standpoint in
the
playoffs? Well, not the Bills are frauds.
Josh, can you imagine Josh Allen and Sean McDermott
against
the Patriots?
A legitimate NFL team. I'm not scared about the Colts.
Yeah, I'm not scared of the Colts
I'm not worried about Jacoby Brissett. I'm just not. 617-779-7937. So, Patriot fans, just remember, you're 8-1, but you played the equivalent of the Sisters of the Poor – Sunshine Valley, Springfield Technical Community College. So that I'm just throwing that out there. Jeff in New Hampshire, he's been on hold. He wants to talk about phony Michelle. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, boys? How you doing this morning?
Good, Jeff.
Yeah, he listens to phony Michelle. Look at the stats from last year versus this
year. Dude, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Can you let the caller speak?
No, Jeff. I'm sorry. Is this Alex Cora on the line talking about last year? Is this Alex Cora?
Come on, Jeff.
No. Just take a look at the offensive line and all the injuries, right? So last year, James White and, as you say, phony Michelle ran for 4.5 yards per carry. Look at the stats this year. They have the exact same 3.3 yards. It's all the offensive line.
But have you watched Sony Michel? Because I agree with you. The line is obviously a factor here. The line, it was a factor in the positive run through the postseason. It's a factor now negatively. But I also watch Sony Michel run, and I just say, he doesn't break any tackles. He doesn't maximize yardage. He just kind of gets whatever's there. And if the offensive line blocks it for a one-yard loss, well, he's taking his one-yard loss. He doesn't get more than is available. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. But that's what he was last year as well.
Right, you know, which is why...
Solid running back, that's about it.
Right, and then you get into solid running back. If you had taken him in the third round, everybody'd be happy. You took him in the first round.
Jeff, did you know that, as you mentioned, the 3.3 yards per carry ranks the Patriots 30th in the NFL? 30th. So that's it's bad.
It's horrible. I mean, actually, if you look back on it, they're averaging under 100 yards a game. There hasn't been a Super Bowl champion outside of three teams, and the last one was the 2011 Giants that didn't run for 100 yards average per game per season that has won a Super Bowl.
That's the good stat of the day.
That is a good stat.
Well done, Jeff.
And by the way, who was that? Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw?
It was Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was it. I remember that game. I remember that team, obviously, because that was the team, the second Giants team that beat the. But I was never more confident, though, that the Patriots getting a chance to rematch the team that beat them 4 years prior in the Super Bowl, that the Patriots are going to win that game, and they ended up losing that. I still go back, and I'm like, I just two plays, Manningham, Welker.
Yeah.
Right?
But I'd also say a name, and a name that had some very impressive years right here, Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
I always joke about it, and it's a snide little remark, but you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare, and he'll lose to Tom Coughlin. And that's just the reality. You can never take that away from those Giants and Tom Coughlin and what he accomplished, beating Bill Belichick and Tom Brady twice. Hell, it's probably going to get Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame when he doesn't deserve to be.
He doesn't deserve to be, because if you're going to put him in there, you know what? There's another guy who won a couple Super Bowls that still is in the Hall of Fame named Jim Plunkett. And Jim Plunkett you know, was really good, but he didn't.
Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning went through the greatest dynasty in history.
Yep.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to collect their two rings. They are, on some level, as Brady would say, the kryptonite in the Super Bowl.
Well, Jim Harbaugh beat the Patriots twice in the playoffs in Foxborough.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh's on the list of not want to play.
Yeah.
Do not want to play at all.
He's done pretty good himself so far. John. John Harbaugh's done pretty good. All right.
Harbaugh actually came into town and beat them in a game number two.
Yeah, it was 2013.
That was the Greg Roman, which we haven't talked about. But Greg Roman, talk about building a resume. It's a somewhat limited sampling, but he did it with Tyrod Taylor and the Bills. He did it with Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers, and he did it with Lamar Jackson. So give Greg Roman some time to prepare. By the way, he had a bye to come out of, correct? Came out of a bye, athletic quarterback, Greg Roman. Maybe he's the kryptonite to Bill Belichick.
Lots of
kryptonite being thrown around these days for an 8-1 football team.
Yeah, he was in San Francisco when they did have Kaepernick, and they made a run to the Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh at the time and almost won. All right, Mark and Hart, we'll come back on the other side. Take your phone calls. We're outside Alumni Stadium getting ready for Boston College, Florida State. Pregame starts in an hour at 11:30, and then John Mina Perel will have the call at noon right here on WEEI. Now it's time for trending.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI. Patriots are off this weekend. They get a much-deserved bye after their 8-1 start to the NFL season. So they get a chance to sit up and rest and relax and watch all the games coming up tomorrow. The only good 4 o'clock game tomorrow, Panthers-Packers. That's the only good one. All the other 4 o'clock games tomorrow are not good.
That's why you watch Red Zone like Tom Brady said he'll be doing.
That's it.
Red Zone's for the modern football fan.
Yep. Bruins fell to the Red Wings last night in Detroit, suffering just their third regulation loss of the season. They're back in action tomorrow trying to snap that 2-game losing streak. Tomorrow night at TD Garden to take on the Philadelphia Flyers, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman announced that the Bruins and Nashville Predators would begin next season with a game in Prague.
Prague.
With the NHL Global Series. We complain about London. How about that? Prague. Celtics road trip. They look for their 7th in a row. After starting off the season 0-1, the Celtics have now won 6 in a row. How about this? The Sixers have now dropped 3 in a row. The Celtics have a 2-game lead over them right now.
Still early.
It's very early.
Settle down. Still
75 games to go. I'm willing. But they're in San Antonio tonight against the guy who loves to express his political views, and he led the USA to a 7th place finish at the FIBA World Cup.
We're now bringing politics into trendings. Settle down.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes returning for the Chiefs. He's going to start tomorrow against the Titans. He missed just 2 games with a dislocated kneecap. Boston College football, as we mentioned, at home. We are live right outside Gate E Alumni Stadium prior to the kickoff of BC Florida State coming up at noon. You can catch all the action right here, starting with pregame at 11:30, kickoff at noon right here on WEEI. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. We'll come back with your phone calls next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
To Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
6 months after the attacks, March 19th, 2002, Wells's body was found in what was the lobby of the South Tower, next to uniformed firefighters. Still, the details of his death remained a mystery. That May, the New York Times published an account from survivors inside the South Tower. One detail struck Wells's family immediately.
And that was Judy Wien saying, this mysterious man wearing a red kerchief was calling out, basically setting up a triage. The minute I saw the reference to the red kerchief, I went, oh my God, Wells, I found you.
All right, Mark and Hart live outside Alumni Stadium. This is a red bandana day for Boston College. You heard that right there. Wells Crowther, the man in the red bandana. So BC will be playing with a little extra added motivation. Red bandana games, they're pretty good. They had one 2 years ago against Florida State. What was his name?
His name is Edward Butts.
Edward Burns. It's Edward Burns. Is the guy who narrated that. Burns.
I can't read. It's Burns.
Yeah. It's Burns. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what we get. We get producer give the wrong name on me there. No, it's Burns.
He's hot back in the studio. He's sweating. He has sweat in his eyes.
Right. So he's sweating his eyes out. Right.
It actually is really hot back here.
Yeah, I gotcha. Edward Burns. So this is a big day for Boston College, and Florida State will be out here. So you can check out the game coming up here. Pregame will start at 11:30, and then kickoff will be at noon. We are live. We are taking your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is, Annie, as we mentioned, yeah, I mean, it's not exactly balmy, but for a football day.
Perfect.
You can't get really much better than this. For New England fall weather, it's not bad.
Especially for a home team that's looking to run the football down the Florida team's throat.
Yep.
Softies from the South, like you.
They don't play
like
good
you when you're in your little studio in the greater Miami area.
Tampa, yes. Right, the AC on.
Yes.
But we got free AC out here today, though.
Yeah, and now that the sun's going behind the stadium, it's getting cooler again in our location.
We got free AC out here today. Overall, what does Steve Belichick, and Gerard Mayo have to change now that sort of the blueprint's been laid on how to beat the Patriots, is that you run the ball right at them? How do they counter that?
Well, I think we talked about it a little earlier. Schematically, I wonder if they're going to go to more three defensive linemen fronts when against teams that are looking to push them around, the Cowboys. I think you can certainly expect the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott, that offensive line to come in and say, we're going to run it on you.
Stop us.
We're going to try to run it. We're going to invest in that early in a game. So I think defensively, you look at, will you have Adam Butler, Lawrence Guy, and Danny Shelton on the field together rather than sort of the rotation they've used at various times this year. I also think the linebackers didn't play very well in Baltimore. The boogeymen, their T-shirts, they need to look down at those and say, live up to the T-shirt.
Yeah, you know what? Those T-shirts have about as much validity as the scary Terry Rozier T-shirts right now, right?
But they're all selling them. I said it earlier, Patriots Pro Shop, Dante Hightower, I see his Instagram and Twitter feed. He's selling them. Everybody's selling them, and I'm sure fans are buying them.
The boogeyman on Sunday night was a gentleman by the name of Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
He was the boogeyman on Sunday night, and he was the one who put the fear of God in that Patriots defense, and he did what he had to do, and they came out. And the thing is, two things kept him in that game, and the Patriots capitalized right away. The Cyrus Jones fumble, which Brady converted into a touchdown.
Yep.
And then the Mark Ingram fumble, which they got into a field goal. I thought, which is normally a sure-handed guy, when Edelman fumbled it and Marlon Humphrey took it all the way for a touchdown, you felt like
You know, because they had the ball at the beginning of the second half. And a lot of people questioned Belichick. Why didn't he go for it before the end of the first half? Why did he take the field goal? I didn't mind that.
It was the right call, right. In my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, in hindsight, you can always look back. But in my opinion, in that game you're in, you're getting the ball out of the half, take the points. And by the way, you're not expecting your defense to continue to struggle. You have maybe the best defense in football. They'd been pushed around a little early. My guess is you're thinking, we're going to figure this out going into the second half. Now, it didn't work. You ended up in the second half getting pushed around like you got pushed around in the first half. But I think you take the points there, and it worked because they're driving right down the field to open the second half. They're going to go up 20-17 at that point, right? Because in my opinion, they were well on their way to a touchdown drive.
They were
clicking. They were going no huddle. The tempo. Edelman fumbles.
Oh, okay. Go back there real quick. Why did they settle on no huddle right from the jump?
Because I think they were trying to do personnel packages, keep the Ravens on, and it worked. I think it may have been Marlon Humphrey. One of the Ravens was saying they were killing us when they were controlling it with their tempo. We didn't have an answer. But that fumble, and I think you can question whether that fumble was directly or indirectly tied to the tempo. Julian Edelman looked gassed.
He
and we
did.
Need to remember, he still has that rib/chest injury that he's been playing through. I don't know exactly what he's got underneath being wrapped in terms of maybe restricting his breathing a little bit. I think that may have played a slight role in that fumble. And I had a big argument with Mutt on Monday night. I think the whole game changed on that fumble, that touchdown return.
Of course.
Because this is, again, a relatively young team under Lamar Jackson. I know you have Harbaugh overseeing it and coaching, but a relatively young team, you play about as well as you could in that first half. You're bullying the Patriots. You're landing those body shots, couple uppercuts to the chin, and then somehow we come right out in the third quarter and we're down 20-17. What just happened? Like, where did 17-0 go? What's going on here? I think the momentum,
no doubt, would have.
And then the Patriots, even after that drive, the Patriots drove down the field again, right? So instead of you potentially are now down two scores early in the second half, that fumble changed. And Edelman talked about it. I mean, he was down on himself for that fumble. But it's one of those things. He's fighting for the extra yard. He always does. If we're going to praise him the 99 times out of 100 that he breaks that tackle, falls forward for a couple extra yards, you take that one play where, yeah, the fumble, return for a touchdown, wasn't your night, game over.
Yeah, and that wasn't just it. They just couldn't stop. They couldn't stop the run. And even
no, those two drives late.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to look. It was like 17 minutes they controlled the
ball
for. Well,
I thought a couple of things. Shalique Calhoun's offsides.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You held him to three. You stopped him.
Yep.
And then you give Lamar Jackson first and goal, and he tiptoes in the end zone. That was a killer.
Usually does that, by the way? Like, again, that's another example, in my opinion, of the script got flipped. That's what other teams do to the Patriots. You stop Brady and company. Whew, okay, they were pushing us around, but we held them to three. There's a little bit. Oh, we jump off sides. Tom Brady takes advantage.
Very
touchdown Patriots. And then it happened again later in the game, I would say. They had a third down play in the first long drive of the second half for the Ravens where Jason McCourty, hands to the face, first down Ravens. That's a very Patriots thing where, okay, we're stopping them on third down. We're going to get off the field here. Oh, cheap penalty. Modern NFL football, hands to the face. They take advantage. They convert. They convert on fourth down later. And so in a lot of ways, the Ravens beat the Patriots just simply at their own game, taking advantage of the little mistakes, the little penalties, the hands to the face, taking advantage of the turnovers. You take it. You move on.
And there was another play, I want to say, in the fourth quarter when the Patriots had Lamar Jackson in the backfield. They had him pinned, and he was able to just get away, and he was able to rush for like 12, 13 yards, get the first down, and it was just like, that's when you sort of realize that was not going to be their night. That it was just like, they did everything they could, they had him dead to left, and he was able to escape the entire defense and made people miss, and it was just like, you can't stop this guy. There's no way to stop this guy. He's like, and Michael Vick said it, but he is the modern Vic, but he's a better version of Vic. He's maybe not as left. He's a better passer. Smarter.
We'll see.
More accurate passer.
But he still misses throws. And
of course.
I left that game. I know a lot of people, immediately became MVP candidate. You know, he's up there with Russell Wilson and all that. I left that game seeing a quarterback that I still think needs to throw better if he's going to become that consistent Russell Wilson. Every year my team has a chance to win its division, go to the Super Bowl because of me.
But you know what's the most...
he can't just run like
okay,
he's running.
But you know what the most impressive...
Quarterbacks don't run for 1,300 yards. It's just, you're not doing it.
You know what the most impressive play was all night long that he made? When he was flushed out and he threw one over the corner for New England, Brooks.
Yeah,
and
Terrence Brooks to Mark Andrews.
Yes.
Huge, great play.
That was...
But you have to do that with regularity. He also had a few throws... Just there was one where a little flat, little flare in the flat for 6 yards right over his, and he immediately just did the old, my bad, that's on me. And you got to eliminate those cheap mistakes, because you also have to eliminate some of those runs. You can't keep doing that at his size.
I will ask
Cam Newton what happens when you run as much as he's running.
Yeah, and his career is over in Carolina now. Yep. Well, you and I both talked about that. Another thing I will say is that I haven't seen since Gary Danielson, who gushed about Tim Tebow, which made a lot of the viewers and listeners very uncomfortable. I thought Chris Collinsworth wanted to have Lamar Jackson's baby.
Unreal.
That night.
Unreal.
I mean, it was just like, dude, like, whoa.
I think Chris Collinsworth has really struggled since he joined Pro Football Focus. Since he bought a portion of that company and tied himself to Pro Football Focus, I think all his analysis has become worse. I think he's become like one of these quants, these analytics guys that has just fallen victim to every number that they put in front of him instead of watching the games. I think he's really, really declined in his job.
I don't understand why he wins the Emmys every year.
Because he still probably is one of the, I mean, him, Romo, like, there's not that many really good. Who's going to get it? Booger?
No, Moose Johnston. I'm a Moose Johnson. I love Moose Johnson.
I could have worn my Moose jersey today.
That's it. Hey, let's hear Collinsworth on Sunday night.
And I promise you, this is one of those moments in time when we're going to think back in a few years and go, you remember the night that Lamar Jackson and that Ravens' style of offense took apart the Patriots? And we're going to be able to point to quarterbacks in the National Football League that got a chance because of this night.
What's he talking about? Like, what's he talking about? I mean, does he know Michael Vick existed? Does he know Randall Cunningham existed? Does he
know Deshaun Watson?
Like, Deshaun Watson
Patrick
existed?
Mahomes, Russell Wilson already won a Super Bowl. Like, dude.
I mean,
like,
I don't know exactly. And now, if he thinks they're going to continue to run that way and you're going to have a 1,300-yard quarterback, well, then he's right. Because that is not a sustainable offense in my mind. And if a lot of people go into that, you better have multiple quarterbacks. I don't think it'll happen. Because now you're turning the clock back 70 years to, you know, old school football.
Yeah.
I'm a little curious as to what's gone on with Chris Collinsworth and his analysis.
All right, 617-779-7937. Let's get on the other side. We'll touch upon a little bit of Celtics coming up next too, as we are live outside Boston College Alumni Stadium, getting ready for the BC Florida State game pregame at 11:30. Broadcast you can hear right here on WEI with John Mita Perel at noon. This is
Take a Bow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Skip, I'm going to give you a little number. Tom Brady's 16th in completion percentage. Is that good? 23rd in yards per attempt. Has an interception in 5 or 6 games. And since week 6, no quarterback in the NFL has a lower passer rating when pressured. Now, Tom Brady, Skip, better tell me, Tom Brady is cool hand Tom. Tom terrific. But these numbers say under pressure, since week 6, no quarterback is worse than Tom Brady.
Really?
Mm. The guy that, he looks the same to me, looks like he did when he was 35. No, he doesn't.
Mm.
No, he does not, Skip Bayless. And it's just a matter of time. Coach Belichick sees it.
Oh, and this is what I was talking about. There you go, the national narrative of the rocket scientists like Shannon Sharpe and Max Kellerman, who love to talk about the decline of Tom Brady, which is clearly greatly exaggerated, and it's erroneous in every way, shape, and form. But hey, you know what? If that's what you want to do, and you're on TV, and you're a national gas bag, then hey,
well, sold it though, right?
He sold it.
He was entertaining. That was.
I mean, I
get into this whole thing. Like, entertainment is different than media, than reporting.
Yeah.
Entertainment's also different than competition. I get into this whole thing with like the Red Sox. And or even the NBA in load management and these things. There's a difference between if I'm the coach doing what I need to do so Kawhi Leonard is available to me come April and late in the season and into the postseason. But then they also need to remember we're an entertainment business. There's a family that just plunked down $1,000 to go to a game that doesn't, the here and the now, doesn't care about 10 months from now when you're competing for a title.
Right.
They want to know, do I get to watch a fun game tonight that I'm a father, that I can only afford to take my family to one game a year?
And not only the one game a year, but for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's in the Western Conference right now, he's only coming to the East to play your hometown team once.
Right. Right.
So he's only coming to Boston to play the Celtics once. He's only going to New York to play the Knicks once and Chicago to play the Bulls once. So if he just happens to get a load management night and he doesn't get to play, then you just drop down a lot of money and you don't get to see arguably the best player in the world right now.
So Bill Belichick oversees a team that's trying to win a title. Robert Kraft oversees an entertainment entity, right? This is entertainment. The National Football League is entertainment. And the blending of those two, NBA, NFL, that's the challenge. And I would argue the same thing in the media. It's just like with Adam Schefter a few weeks ago talking about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's selling his house. Tom Brady's trainer's selling his house. Well, Adam Schefter, are you speaking as a talking head entertainer? Somebody who's just pontificating? Kind of what we do Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. Just talk about topics, try to present them in an interesting, entertaining way. Or are you Adam Schefter, information guy who's providing me with actual journalistic facts?
You were hard on Volin about this about a couple months. A lot of people were, but you were really too hard on Volin. Like, is this information or is this reporting?
Right. And
I mean, is this information or is this opinion?
Right.
Excuse me.
And that gets blended in this modern media. And it's not just sports, right? It's politics. It's everything else. Are you on CNN or Fox News popping off just an opinion and a thought and an idea? Or are you reporting what's going on? And I think the meeting of those two is where we're at, the intersection.
I had a boss in Charlotte who told me, he goes, listen, I don't pay you to be an investigative reporter. I don't want you breaking stories on the air. I just want you, once they're broken, to comment on and,
right,
and opine on them. That's it. That's all. That's what you get paid. I don't need you to be Schefter. I don't need you to be Jay Glazer or, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski. Just like once they happen, then you give your opinion, and that is it. Now, it was funny. This is a true story. We had a guy call in one time, and it was actually true. Cam Newton had some sort of off the record surgery, and a guy's wife, she's a nurse there. He calls up and he breaks the HIPAA law and said, hey, Cam Newton was over at Piedmont Hospital today. I'm like, well, we can't confirm it. And we found out it was true.
Right.
So, like, but I'm like, that was just a caller. It wasn't me.
Right.
So I'm like, but it's crazy when you think about that. But that's why when Schefter is presenting it, the way he's done it with Brady, he's basically doing it because he's in tight with Belichick and his right-hand man, Bursch.
Yep.
And he's in tight with Brady. So, to me, that's coming from a source that knows exactly what he's saying.
That's a very informed opinion. It may be an opinion,
informed,
but it's very well informed.
All right, I brought this up early in the week, and he had a meltdown this week on Twitter. His name is Antonio Brown. We'll get to this coming up next. Antonio Brown, who is trying to get back in the NFL, but then did something kind of so stupid and reprehensible that might have not exactly enhanced his chance to expedite his return to the National Football League. We'll get to that and something Robert Kraft Antonio related as well. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We're at Market Heart Live right outside Boston College Alumni Stadium, getting you ready for BC Florida State coming up at noon right here on WEI.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Hate the most. Probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Tony Michelle. Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
Now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart.
Mark Inhart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
He says, and I'm quoting now, or close to quoting.
Yeah.
Imagine conforming to a system, giving it a 100% to see them treat me like this is unfairly.
Exclamation point.
Making money off my sweat and blood. Bleep the NFL. I'll never play in that bleep. Treat black people the worst. Clear my name and go bleep yourself.
All right, so we are Mark Inhart. That was Dale Arnold reading the tweet from Antonio Brown earlier this week. Now, of course, you know, one thing Antonio Brown hasn't understood, that when you tweet something out there, it is basically stenciled in stone.
Yes.
It is written in it. You cannot erase it. And so he since deleted the tweet, but yes, everybody in the world has screen capped it. So then he
bleep
came out afterwards,
here.
comes out and says, quote, after that, I'm just very frustrated right now with the false allegations and slander to my name. I love football and I miss it. I just want to play and I'm very emotional about that. I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP. Now,
your boy Drew Rosenhaus did a nice job writing that one.
Right, yeah, right. So here's the thing I'm going to say. Had he just tweeted the second part out, the one I just read you, I think everybody would have been like, okay, I think he's learned. Dude, you know we talked about how Kyrie Irving has clearly some issues and he needs professional help, he needs to go see a psychiatrist. Well, Kyrie Irving's therapy session would be a day at Disney World compared to Antonio Brown.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, this guy needs, like, severe, serious psychological help.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
Now, all that being said, it's like, I get it. You want to come back. It's, you know, this is what you know. You're 28 catches away from breaking the record for the most catches in a decade in NFL history, but unfortunately it's not going to happen because you're not going to probably get the chance prior to the end of the season. I think they put him on. Now, I want to ask you this. Not maybe you do know something, maybe you don't. A caller called in this week because I made a statement, and I said the biggest mistake that Robert Kraft made this year was parting ways with Antonio Brown. And I'm considering everything that happened at Oregon's of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter. All that being said, I think the biggest mistake that Robert Kraft did was caving to the public pressure because when you are in charge of a Fortune 500 company or a multi-billion dollar franchise that is one of the highest rated sports entities, most valued sports franchises in the world with Man U and Liverpool and all those, when you are sometimes you have to look at the situation that you were in at that moment and say, what will happen in a week or two? Will this thing sort of not seem as bad in a week or two? Now, someone brought this up. Someone said that maybe the commissioner, Roger Goodell, tipped off Robert Kraft and said, hey, if you don't part ways with this guy, we're going to put him on the commissioner right. exempt list, and he's done anyway.
I think that is happening. I actually asked, if you looked at what happened with the Seahawks recently, where the Seahawks were reported as a team that, quote, did their due diligence on Antonio Brown and then decided to claim Josh Gordon.
The Eagles, too.
What does that tell you?
The Eagles, too.
That tells you when they did their due diligence, they said, we need to add a receiver. If I go sign Antonio Brown, Mr. Commissioner, will he be able to play for us, or are you going to take him away from me immediately? They then chose to do what? Go claim Josh Gordon. I think you have the two dots there to tell what they found out in their due diligence. Now, I think it's interesting because we talked to, on Dale and Keith yesterday, we talked to Michael McCann from Sports Illustrated, and I asked him, I said, if the league is doing that, is there a question of legality there? And he said, most definitely. If the league is telling, because if you're on the commissioner's exempt list, you get paid. So if a team signs Antonio Brown to a contract, then he goes on the commissioner's exempt list, his ability to earn an income continues. He's but being paid.
Adrian Peterson.
Correct.
With the whole thing. Yep.
So if he is laying the foundation, and Michael McCann thinks he's laying the foundation here for a potential lawsuit for collusion, that they're colluding him, they're blackballing him, keeping him out of the NFL, and he can in any way prove that the Seahawks called the NFL, the commissioner's office, Roger Goodell, and got any sort of an answer that, yeah. Don't sign him, because I'm going to put him right on the exempt list as soon as you sign him, so don't sign him.
That's collusion.
There could be a collusion there. Mm. And I think it's clear, and I do think there's a chance the Patriots may have fallen under the same sort of scenario, either when they released him, or I think they considered bringing Antonio Brown back. I really do.
Do you really?
I think they considered, after he was gone, bringing him back, and I think they probably did due diligence, in quotes, and found out it ain't happening. And you know what they went and did?
They got Mohamed Sanu.
So you have two teams that I think were interested in Antonio Brown.
Three.
Did due diligence. Right.
Philadelphia Eagles apparently were interested as well. And guess who they brought back for the third time? Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Matthews. So
Jordan Matthews.
There's dots here we can connect that these three teams, playoff contenders, Super Bowl contenders, may have interest in Antonio Brown. Doing due diligence on Antonio Brown, all found other options. All went out and got somebody else. I think you can paint your own picture.
Now,
there.
For Antonio Brown, if there is any silver lining in what's been just, God, I mean, the most chaotic year in anyone's life. But
so self-destructive.
So
like, you mentioned Kyrie. Kyrie is not on that. He's a narcissist. He's different issues. But Kyrie, does he have any problems? Because he's got a very nice contract. He's on a very nice
team.
But
it's not affecting him to be able to play.
Right.
He dropped
Someone needs to
last
take
night
Antonio Brown and say, give me your phone. Give me this. And I don't even know if it's Drew Rosenhaus, your boy. I don't know if he has that ability. I've joked about the grandmother that made the appearance in one of those videos after he was celebrating that he got out of Oakland. It happened, Grandma. You were right. We're out. Well, maybe Grandma needs to, I don't know. My grandmother used to grab me by the ear.
Right.
I think somebody needs to grab him by the ear. And now maybe that person doesn't exist.
You can't.
My grandma. If my grandmother weren't dead and I did something dumb and she was 90, she would have grabbed my damn ear.
But here's the thing. You have too many enablers and yes men, including one guy you mentioned, who he's the biggest enabler of them all, is Drew Rosenhaus. That's his agent.
But I also question where he's at, because every $10 million or $30 million or $60 million that Antonio Brown loses, Drew Rosenhaus loses.
But they're still getting the 9 3%. And $10 million from the Patriots.
Right. But would you rather have your 3% of $9 million or your 3% of $60 million? I'd rather have the 3% of $60
million. So. All I know is this was the decade of Antonio Brown. He had a chance to do something that no pass catcher in the history of the league had done, and have the most catches in the NFL in a decade. In the NFL, he was 28. After his four-catch, one-touchdown performance against the Dolphins, he was 28 catches away, which he might have had in the next three games with Brady. And, like, you completely and so now I look at it and things what you just said about Robert Kraft, that I don't put as much on Robert Kraft on this as I did, because I think the perception is, well, Robert Kraft gave in to the public pressure. And I'm like, listen, this is a franchise that has endured more scandals and more embarrassing situations, Deflategate, Spygate, Aaron Hernandez.
Yep.
Than any you don't think that they could actually withstand sort of a text message thing?
Right.
So
and by the way, they had already sort of dealt with it. They had stemmed the tide, because remember, he signs, then the civil lawsuit comes out. There were people who said he can't play. You can't put him on the field in Miami. You need to suspend him. You need to make him inactive as a team. And they chose not to, right? They chose to put him on the field in light of the issues. And then it all kind of unraveled with the text messages that may have not only put an end to his NFL season, but who knows where he goes moving forward.
617-779-7937 is the number to get in. Your thoughts on AB and another week, another Twitter tirade. Dude.
Well, he deleted it, so it's gone. Don't worry. It's gone.
Here's the thing, too, where you would say that because
some... You also saw the burner accounts, too, right?
No.
Oh, there is a very strong belief they've tied, believe it's three burner accounts to him, a guy who goes in and responses to AB's tweets. This person then answers all those responses, ripping people. And one of them is Tav, and his middle name is Tavarius or something. And one of them signed up with his birth date. They use the actual birth date. Now, it could be all an elaborate ruse or whatever.
Right.
But it also certainly looks like it could, because the language is the same. It certainly sounds a lot like AB defending AB in these burner accounts.
The only thing I will say is that if the Patriots had Antonio Brown last Sunday night, it could have been a different game.
Hey,
here's a guy who knows a thing or two about playing the Ravens twice a year. And he knows all about that team, and he has a lot of success against Baltimore. They had a lot of black and blue grudge matches, but that was it. I will just tell you this: there's a part of me that wishes he could have stayed a Patriot, but then when he pulls this Twitter tirade and he says "F the NFL," they treat black people worse. It's like, dude, you still haven't learned your lesson, where instead of texting to this woman who's accusing you of sexual misconduct and harassing her, you're doing it to the world, and right. It's like you still haven't learned your lesson. This is why the NFL, this is his penance this year. He will not play another down this season in the league.
No question, and I mean, it's Roger Goodell. We joked about this yesterday. It's the parent saying you're grounded. Why? Because I said so. I'm sick of this crap, right? There were specific things along the way that built up, but at this point, Roger Goodell's like, enough is enough. You're right. Had it been the secondary tweet, maybe he is going to go down the road of he'll come in, we can have a discussion, he's learned from this, but he doesn't have that in him. It's the same thing. What happened in Oakland? He stamped his foot, had a hissy fit, called Mike Mayock a cracker, went to the race thing. Now he's gone on a much bigger level. Now the whole league is racist. The whole league is against him. Does that make any sense? No. It just doesn't.
No, you can't. Listen to me.
He's been enabled and coddled forever because he's ridiculously good.
I want the game, but I don't need the game.
You do, but you do. Because every time you say you're never going to play in the NFL again, you try to play in. He did this a few weeks ago when he went on the top. I'm done with that league. I'll never play in that. Can you guys expedite the process so I can find out my status because I want to get back in the league?
Right.
He just wants to play football, and I understand that. That's what he does. That's all he does. That's who he is. But he is just so self-destructive. It's alarming.
It's too bad because I would have loved to seen Brady and him this season together. I would have loved to see. I think he would have had at least 10 to 13 touchdown catches.
No question.
I think. 617-779-7937. Brad in San Diego is up next. What's up, Brad?
Mark and Hot. I love you guys, man. SoCal loves you.
Yeah, well, you know what? We do not feel like we're in SoCal right now.
No.
We are so cold.
Yeah, believe me. This is no SoCal weather right here, but we're braving it, man.
Hey, I'd love to be back there right now, actually. that game, I was talking last week about, going into that game, and I don't think that Belichick saw that game the same way as Harbaugh did. Harbaugh saw this as an opportunity to knock the Patriots on their ass, do or die. Belichick just kind of laid back, let Mayo and his son do their thing, let the defensive players do their thing and read. I don't think he said much. And I think he did that for a purpose. Because if they move forward here, now if they play the Eagles and they fall on their tail, we got a problem. But
especially coming off a bye.
And we gotta secure that number one seed. That's guaranteed. We don't need to be undefeated. We need that one number one seed. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've learned that lesson in the past. Patriots at home in the postseason, good scenario. Patriots on the road in the postseason, not as good a scenario.
Right. And the thing that hurts it even worse, Brad, was that
You know, I mean, the Patriots could have had Kansas City at home last year, but the Miami miracle happened. And then that was a game that pretty much, if you want to look back at one game that cost them home field advantage, it was that game. It was that play. So it was fluky. Another thing, too, this is another thing we didn't mention all show long, is that nobody chipped the Ravens' rush on the edge. Nobody chipped these guys. Nobody.
Yeah.
Whether it was tight end, nobody. These guys were unimpeded all night long. I thought Brady did a really good job considering what he had to go against all
game long. I think he was hit 10 times.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot.
And the way that Lamar Jackson was able to weave his way out of the pocket that on that one play toward the end of the game, that was pretty trippy. But, you know, they've got to tip your cap to the Ravens. They did what they needed to do. They celebrated like they just won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Good for them. But we don't celebrate Super Bowls now. We celebrate them in February. So.
Right. That's it. All right, Brad, thanks for the phone call. You know, I remember, obviously, in 2015, the Patriots got off to a 10-0 start, and then they lost to Denver in Denver, which unfortunately ended up being a precursor for the playoffs, which is where their season ended.
Yeah, they've started 8-0 three times. The other two times, they did not win the Super Bowl.
They didn't. So, who knows?
Which means they're due to win the Super Bowl when they start 8-0, right?
No, I mean,
that's the positive perspective.
The one thing, you know, is that, like, I want everybody out there just to sort of, yes, I get it. The 19-0 thing, it was, we can romanticize about it. We can, you know, it was so majestic. We could just sit there and say, well, it was a nice thing to just sort of contemplate. But it wasn't realistic.
No.
Let's be honest. It wasn't something that was not with this. Because if they beat Baltimore Sunday night, which they didn't, they were going to lose to I think they're still going to lose to Houston. I have them losing to Houston in a couple weeks. I have them weeks. I think that they're going to go down there and and Bill O'Brien is going to get his revenge. And then all these teams that beat the Patriots like during the regular season, if they get another crack at them, Belichick will get his revenge in the playoffs. That's my thought.
See, the only problem is, did you see that stat? The last five times that's happened, they lost.
I know.
Careful what you wish for, that whole theory. It's like this week. Patriots are 18-12 coming out of the bye week under Belichick, which is a winning record.
But it's not.
But the way they win all the time, every game, you know, whatever the scenario, it's not a great record for them. And this is no pushover they're going to be heading into in Philadelphia.
No.
I mean, that's a legitimate game, just like the last time you took the field.
And this Eagles team is, they're trying to find themselves, and they're searching for answers because their season is not going the way that they thought it was going. And you got Carson Wentz. They're down in Philly. That fan base down there, they certainly there's a reason, going back to the vet, while they have a judge inside the stadium to sort of rule on fans' disturbing behavior, which transpires at those games all the time. So that's not exactly like, oh, you get the Dolphins at home coming out of your bye.
Nope.
No. That's not exactly.
They got a battle, but if they're going to prove they are who they want to be and where they want to go.
How concerned are you with that loss, though, that they had? How concerned?
It's concerning. I mean, if you look at them and the way they got pushed around up front, mm-hmm. I think that is the potential fatal flaw. And I've always had this theory. I've said this before. A lot of times you can scheme around a lot of things. Pass protection. Oh, we're going to keep a guy in, max protect. Or in the back end, we're going to confuse him with coverages and zone and man and different things. If you can't stop the run, that's old school football. There's only so much you can do. You put your big boys on the field and say, I need you to, you know, play stout. And if you don't, then you say, well, I might have to tip my cap to the other team. They're more powerful than us up front. They push us around. I think run defense is a hard thing to scheme against. And as I said earlier, if the Patriots aren't going to score like they have traditionally offensively, that gives opponents more incentive to run the ball because they're not afraid that every time Brady touches it, he's going to go six plays, 85 yards and a touchdown, and I'm playing catch up. There's not a lot of fear of the Patriots' offense right now either.
Silver lining, Mohamed Sanu's performance?
Mohamed Sanu, most people took as a silver lining. I said, you threw him the ball 14 times, you got 80 yards out of it?
Right.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't.
You tried a flea flicker, and it led to like a six-yard crossing pattern to him. I think he's another in the long line of complimentary receivers. If you're going to say there's another fatal flaw in this team besides the run defense, I think you look at who's the playmaker on offense you can go to. Who's the Gronk? Who's that guy that's going to come up big in the big spot? I don't think Sanu's that guy because he's never been that guy in the NFL. He's a good complimentary receiver.
All right, we're about to send it off to the BC pregame here, right at Alumni Stadium, Boston
College.
About to
warm my butt in my truck.
I love BC today.
Yeah.
I think they're going to kill Florida State.
Run the ball right down their throats.
You know what? I don't have a prediction on LSU-Alabama. I just hope it's a great game.
Yeah, I'm going to go LSU. I think two is going to be limited because of the ankle. I think that's going to be the difference.
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Sorry, Nick. So LSU-Alabama coming up today at 3:30. If you're going to watch one college football game all year on CBS, check that one out. You're going to have so many pros on the field. They say only 20. There'll be more eventually as these young kids grow up, including the two quarterbacks and the wide receiver for Alabama.
Who's the better quarterback in this game? Who's the better quarterback for the National Football League? 3-2-1.
Burrow.
I need an answer.
Burrow,
me too.
Burrow, not even close. Tua Tebow. I don't think
relax.
I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback at all.
Boy.
At all. All right, thanks to Doug Lane and the WEI Street Team, everybody who called, everybody listen, Eamon Convey back in the studio. Don't forget, this is a red bandana game. Wells Crowther, for all the people here coming to the game, the man with the red bandana. I think BC wins big time, and Florida State will quit, and they're going to quit early. They're going to quit real early. We'll see you next week right here on Mark and Hart of WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.